We want to talk this morning to you, I'm hoping to help you, about storms of life. And of course, if none of you have had any storms, then it's cool. You can go sleep now, it's fine. Nobody's going to complain. But if you're currently in one, or you've been through one or more, many, then maybe I can help you this morning a little bit to make sense out of what you went through. Okay? So I'm going to ask you for a response now. What would you consider to be a storm of life? Maybe that you've gone through, or what other people? Shout out your answers. Sickness is one. Say what? Death of a loved one, absolutely. Marital challenges, yes, absolutely. Anything else? Loneliness, yes. Storm. Loss of a job. Rebellious teenager. Wow. All right, so all of you parents then. Okay, so relationships, health issues, financial issues, job issues, these are all problems. Accidents, sickness, diseases, early deaths, correct? Anything I've left out? Huh? I've left out a lot of things. But hey, we pretty much know what we're talking about. So we've all been there. We've all done that. We all wear the T-shirt. Okay? I'm a storm survivor. Okay? Or I'm in a storm. Okay? Something like that. Okay? So you know what we're talking about. So here I want to answer some questions this morning about the storms of life. We're going to try and get to them. Okay, so number one, who causes them? Does God cause these things? Does the devil cause these things? Do we cause some of these things? Okay, if you have a boss, it's definitely the boss that does it. There's a fourth person in the group, right? Okay, so the thing is, now we have to answer a theological question. And the theological question is this. Since we're all going through these things, is it God's divine plan that we go through these things? I mean, has he prearranged some storms for us so that we could go through it for some reason? In other words, if he's behind this, or if he's permitting it, is it for some reason? Is there a cause? Is there a because? For example, he may just dislike you, and you just tick him off, and he's trying to do his best to get you to heaven quickly, right? Or he wants to straighten your act out, because like you're not really doing the things you're supposed to, so he's going to whack you inside the head until you figure it out, and you start acting like Jesus. You better figure it out before he kills you. Okay, so it could be that. It could be you need correction? What? If God is behind it and he's permitting it, there's got to be a reason for it. He's just not, like, mean, and he's got nothing else to do on Sunday, so he gets up thinking, who can I nail this week? No? Okay, all right. Well, then I think we've already concluded that probably not God, but then if he is God, and he knows all things, why didn't he stop them? So are storms good for us? I mean, if God's permitting it, he's not stopping it, then maybe they're good for us. Okay, so how many of you are confused right now? Cool. Only one person. I need to press on with this. Okay, so let's talk about one of the great errors. One of the great The great wrongs. Okay. For those who haven't understood me so far, I'm not used to the accent. Okay? Error. One of the great mistakes. Trying to look for a word that'll help you. God causes or permits all things for the greater good. So he has got something behind the scenes, the greater good, and that's why he allows or permits these things to happen, because at the end of the day, we come out stronger for having gone through this. I don't know if any of you have seen the tornadoes that have been hitting the rest of the country. Have you seen them? Just wiping. You see the storm? You see those cities, towns have been flattened. How many of you think they're stronger? What about the mudslide that came down? Anybody feel they're stronger after that?
No.
See, I don't know of any storms that make you stronger. I don't care what the country singer says. What doesn't kill you make you stronger. No, I don't think so. Okay? They're not sent to make you stronger. God does not have some kind of mystical plan that we don't know about, and that everything that it kind of turns out bad, or that is, you know, we can't explain it, we put it in the mystical file 13, not for you to know now. When we get to heaven, we will ask him. I don't think anybody's going to get past the front gate. I think there's going to be trillions of people at the front. Why are we waiting? I have a question. Why God? First question at the gate, why God? Okay? So, let me show you a scripture that has caused some of these problems. It's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, Romans 8, 20, 28. And this is one of the scriptures that have caused the problem. And actually, it's not the scripture that's caused the problem, it's the misinterpretation of the scripture that's caused the problem. So, we know that all things work together for good. Would you say all things work together for good? So this is where people jump off when anything happens and they say, well, it doesn't matter. That thing that happened is working together for good. So good or bad, storm of life or not, is working together for good. And that's where they stop. But they need to read on. It says, to those who love God. So that excludes a lot of people. How many of you know there's not everybody loves God? I can tell by the thousands that have stayed away from this morning service. You see, I know that if you don't like going to church, you won't like going to heaven. And people are going to be in for a big shock because they thought church was just something that we, you know, religious people do. Well, religious people also go to heaven. It's the same group. And if you don't like mixing with religious people now, you're sure not going to like it up there. Because this is the calm bunch. This is the mellow bunch. We're not the rowdy bunch. The rowdy bunch is in heaven. Now, so first of all, it works for those who love God. And then to those who are called according to his purpose. So this doesn't work for everybody. This works for a select group of people that love God and that are called according to his purpose. So you need to find out what your calling is, and you need to find out what God's purpose is. And you need to check your heart to see if you love him. So loving God, being called, and following his purpose are critical to making this verse work for you. Okay? It's critical. So this verse doesn't work for everybody. Now, here's the problem. People have taken this verse as follows and have said, we know that bad things or good things work for my benefit. All things work for my benefit. And that is not what the verse says. The verse is actually saying, God makes something good come out of the bad. Yes. Say that with me. God makes something good, come out of the bad. So God makes something good come out of the bad. God didn't make the bad. He makes the result. He turns something around so that what was meant for your harm, actually God turns some things around and it ends up being for your good. I can prove it because if you read this verse in context, and that's the whole problem. Many people read the Bible, they do not read the word in context, and if they do not, it becomes a pretext. You see, you have to read the whole thing before and after to find out what it's saying. And if you'll just drop your eyes down to verse 31 of the same chapter, it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? You understand? Say, God is for me. He's not against me. So anything that you're going on in your life that doesn't look like God, it isn't. God is for you. He's not against you. Now it says, he who did not spare his own son, he did not spare Jesus. He allowed Jesus to be crucified. He gave Jesus up for us all. How will he, God the Father, not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? Giving you all things would mean giving you healing if you were sick. He's not going to withhold healing because you've been a bad person and he needs to teach you some lessons through your suffering. He's actually given Jesus to suffer in your place so that you can have an end result that is good. And God will work it out. He's already worked it out. If you would only believe him for it, then you would be able to enjoy the end result of deliverance. Well, what happens if you lost your job? What happens if it's a financial problem? What happens if anything? Well, Bible clearly tells us, if we'll give, we will receive and we'll be blessed. And God wants to bless you if you'll give. So God has made a way out. He's not going to leave you in poverty. He's made a way out for you. You don't have to stay sick. You don't have to stay poor. I'm not preaching at the poor. I'm not talking to the poor and trying to belittle their condition. What I'm trying to do is throw them a rope because they're in a hole and nobody's helping them get out of the hole. Many people are throwing food stamps into the hole. And so the people living in the bottom of the hole are now becoming dependent upon food stamps. How about me giving you a rope to get out of the hole? Here's the rope. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And if you grab this rope, God is on the other side. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay. See, God has made a way. God, according to this scripture, if God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody can be against you because he's graciously going to get you out of all things. All right. Now, here's a scripture we looked at last week that verifies... Well, last time I preached, that verifies that storms come to everybody. Okay? We're not immune. Storms come to everybody. And Jesus is the one speaking in Matthew 7 and verse 24. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. All right? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. I will liken him to a wise man. So why is he a wise man? Because he does what he hears. He's a doer of what he hears. That's what makes him a wise man. He built his house on the rock, which is a good foundation. And then the storm hit. The rain descended, floods came, the winds blew, beaten the house. That's a storm. Okay? Hitting his family, hitting his house, hitting his life. His life did not fall apart. His house did not crumble because it was founded on the rock. It was founded on the rock. Now, here's another man. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine, just, there's two people that heard. They both heard. But the second person doesn't do it. Sits in church, listens, but doesn't do it. There's a lot of hearers that go to church. But there are much fewer doers that go to church. Now, liken this person to a foolish man. So we have a wise man, we have a foolish man. So far, the only difference is the one did and the one did not do. Watch this. He built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house. Same storm. Identical storm. This time, his house fell, and great was the fall. Great was the fall. Okay? Now, the reason his house fell and the reason that was so great, James tells us that if we are not doers of the word, we are self-deceived. In other words, we hear it and we think we're okay, but we don't do it. then we deceive ourselves and we think it's okay. So I went to church on Sunday, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. Going to church doesn't change anything in your life. It changes nothing. Maybe you go home and put a little check mark next to it. Well, I've done my good thing. That's, you know, yoo-hoo, praise the Lord, I did that. Folks, if you don't do what you heard in church, then coming to church was a waste of your time. Amen. You don't come to church to satisfy a conscience, and you don't come to church to score points with God. He's not impressed that you come to church. Not at all. Not when you compare that to Jesus dying on the cross. Amen. Coming to church is you don't score any points. Okay? It's not about a point system. But you come to learn. You come to receive instruction. You come to receive help. But I can't help you if you won't take what I'm telling you and go out and do it. There's nothing I can do to help you. You understand? All right. So this is what Jesus was saying. These two guys, both in church, one did what he said and he stood the test when the storm hit. The other guy didn't do what he said and his house fell. Now, just maybe there's a devil. Okay? Just maybe, maybe. Just maybe he's the one causing the problems. There's a lot of people who don't believe there's a devil. Seriously. I talked to somebody one day and he said, "You actually telling me that you believe in a personal devil? Like a little guy running around with horns and a fork and he's wearing a red suit? That what you think?" But you see, that's what the comic books and that's what Hollywood have made him out to be. They've made him out to be a comic character. And that's awesome for him. That's awesome. Because he appears so foolish that certainly a person of intellect would never believe that there's such a thing as a real personal devil. Well, Jesus did. I wonder why he would have thought there's a real devil. Let's see what Jesus said about the devil. In John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." The thief he's talking about is the devil. So Jesus thought there was a devil, and he said, "Listen, this is what he's going to do. He's going to come, steal, kill." And Jesus was basically saying there's no one exempt from this. He's going to attack everybody. Storms of life are going to hit everybody. So sickness, poverty, emotional distress we heard about, loneliness, breakup of marriages, all of these problems, okay? Most of them could have been stopped. Do you know that? Most of them could have been stopped. There's a way to have prevented it. Didn't have to happen. So the storm comes, but the house doesn't fall down. Marriage doesn't come apart. It doesn't unravel, end up in divorce. Seriously, if you hate each other, if you're both Christians, there's a way out of it because you're supposed to love your enemy. So I'm saying, there is a way out of it, okay? Yeah. And even if she slaps you, turn the other cheek. Okay, there's a way. What did Jesus say about himself? What did Jesus say about himself? In the same verse, he said, "I have come that you might have what? Life. And that you might have it to the full." So here's the contrast. The devil or Satan wants to take from you, wants to hurt you, wants to cause sickness, wants to cause pain, wants to cause family breakup, wants to cause all of the distresses of life. He wants to do everything he can to hurt you and ultimately to kill you if he can. But Jesus said, "Listen, this is God. I am speaking on behalf of God." This is what Jesus was saying. "And this is the heart of the Father. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Okay. So let's get on to the fact that surely if God permits something to happen, doesn't that mean it's his will? I mean, logically, if you have the power to stop something and you don't, and you permit it, then are you not also saying it's my will? Just saying, reason. I mean, just logic. Reason with me. Right? It would seem so. That would seem logical. If I have the power to stop it and I don't stop it, and I permit it, for whatever reason I permit the thing to continue and to go through, then surely I must have condoned it. I must have approved of it. I must have permitted it. Otherwise I would have stopped it. If it was in your power to stop, and you didn't stop it, you know, it might have been a coward, and then maybe it wasn't in your power because you were too afraid to go ahead. So, let's have a look at this. Would you go with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29? Are not two sparrows, Jesus said, sold for a farthing? And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father. Matthew 10:29. Get a new iPod, pad. Matthew 10:29. How many have got a Matthew 10:29? Okay, repent. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them shall fall to the ground without your Father. Now, if you're reading the King James Bible, that's where it stops. Okay, that's where it stops. Doesn't go any further. And there's a couple of translations, original Greeks and that kind of stuff that I looked up, says the same thing. But many translations that you read say they add a word on at the end of that verse. They will add the word consent, or will, or permission. So then it reads like, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father's consent, or without your Father's will, or without your Father's permission. Now that makes perfect sense, if that's what Jesus was trying to tell us. And again, we have to read this thing in context to find out what Jesus is trying to tell us. You see, if you read that verse as a standalone verse and you think, there's not a sparrow that doesn't die that God doesn't know about it, right? But what they're saying here is that not a sparrow dies without God permitting it. Is that truly a good translation? Well, let's read on. Let's read the next verse. Okay? Now, the next verse is about me and Mike in the front and Steve. We keep God busy. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Brother, I love the way that you shine for Jesus. Awesome. There's a holy anointing upon you all the time. Glory. That's like him. I'm on the stage here during this worship. Woo! Glory to the house. Well, it really is not that... We're losing our hair. Andrew told me, says that he's growing through it. I always said I'd be gray before I lose it. Praise the Lord. I got that one right. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, we ask you this question. Do you think Jesus is telling us God knows all things? Or is God permitting my hair to fall out? Is God consenting to my loss of hair? Because then I need to stop using Rogaine. What is it? What is it? Is God consenting to the loss of hair? Is he giving permission? Or does he keep busy counting? Every morning God gets up and says, I got to get a CPA. I can't keep this up anymore. Somebody's got to count. Right? Now, what do you think he's doing? What is he saying? He's saying God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Is that, you think, what he's saying? Therefore, I believe, since God is all-knowing, that what Jesus was... Well, let me give you another example. Let me go to another place where Jesus talks about the sparrows. Exactly the same story, just changes the amount of sparrows and how much money is involved. Okay? We go to Luke 12 and verse 6. Luke 12 and 6. Same story. And Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? So it's the same thing about the sparrows. He said in Matthew 10:29 about how many sparrows are being sold, yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Not one is forgotten. In other words, God knows about it. God knows about it. God knows about the sparrows. Are you not worth more than sparrows? God knows about you. He's got your number of your hair. He's got everything where you live, your telephone number, everything. He knows about you. He created your DNA. He knows about you. God is omniscient, all-knowing. So, God knows about the sparrows. God knows about your hair. So, I submit to you that if you read these in context, that what is going on is that God is not giving permission for the sparrow to die or for something to happen. It's not Him giving permission, but He knows about it. That's what He's saying. A sparrow doesn't fall without God knowing about it. Sparrow's not sold without God knowing about it. A storm doesn't hit your life without God knowing about it. You're not going through something today that's caught God by surprise. God knows about what you're going through. God knows about what you will face tomorrow or the next day. God knows about what you've gone through. God knows about you intimately. And that's comforting. Do you understand now? That's what's so comforting about what Jesus was saying. Now, you see, if Satan, and he does exist, can deceive you into blaming God, your loving Heavenly Father, for all the tragedies or storms in your life, then you will permit the devil or Satan to continue doing that in your life, and you will give God the glory for it. You will actually give God thanks for the works of the devil in your life. Where the devil is hurting you, kicking you about, stealing from you, and causing the calamity, and you'll turn around and say, Lord, I know that you are causing all things to happen. And you will acknowledge God as the cause of those things, and therefore you will not resist the devil. And the Bible says you need to resist him for him to flee from you. If you're acknowledging God for those problems, you're certainly not going to resist the devil. So the devil gets away with it because he conned you. He conned you into blaming your Heavenly Father for the storms and for the problems. Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was a logical argument. So, my dear friends, family of God, don't be misled. Do not be misled. God is always good. And He's always good to us. Say this, God is always good to me. All right, let's have a look. James chapter 1 and verse 16. James 1 and 16. So don't be misled. Misled, don't be misled. That's not the same thing as don't be ignorant. He said, don't let someone tell you. Don't be misled. Somebody is leading you down the wrong path. Someone is giving you false information. Someone is leading you up a doctrinal error road. It's wrong. It's misleading you. It's misguidance. It's not the truth. It's not ignorance. It's that you've been given wrong information. You follow? You got it? That's what misled means. Don't be misled. About what? What? Don't be misled about what? Verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. Whatever is good, whatever perfect, comes to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens, and He never changes. Therefore, since God never changes, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, if He did good stuff before, He does good stuff today and He'll do good stuff in the future. He didn't change when you come on the scene and said, now I've got to start doing bad stuff. I can't just handle this guy anymore. I'm going to do some bad stuff to him. No, wait a minute. I'll ask the devil to do the bad stuff. Okay, so now let's take this into the real life situation. Real life. Okay? And I'm going to think of some horrid things. Really horrid. So we're moving to R-rated now. Okay, so listen. Child pornography, child rape, sex slavery. I ask you with tears in my eyes, God permits it? God's in favor? God gives authority? He's condoning it? Really? So you know that. You know that because you just know that you know that you know that, dear heaven, there would never be a God that would do that. You don't need the Bible to help you. You already know that. Your conscience and your savvy knows that is not God, and He's not permitting it. So the question is, it's happening. So who's behind this? Well, first of all, another human being. There's another human being, whether he's a drunk driver, whether he's a sex maniac, whether he's a rapist, it doesn't matter. There's another human being that was involved in this horrendous crime. God did not initiate it. God did not motivate that, I don't know if I should call him a human being, that human being to do such an animalistic thing. God did not promote it, condone it, or get behind it, or motivate that person to do it. And yet there's a victim. We have a victim. What do we say to the victim? Don't worry, sweetie. God is working all things out. He allows all these things. It's going to be good for you at the end. Don't worry. I'm about to puke on somebody. Okay? Just don't even speak to me like that about my Heavenly Father. Because a spirit of slap is going to come on me, and you're going to have to turn your other cheek. Because I'm going to hit you twice. I'm sorry, but I just get really mad at people who talk about my Heavenly Father. You know, we had a lady who was working with us, and she was helping Jackie. And she loved her dad, and she would boast about her dad all the time. She loved to talk about the dad. But she kept telling us about all these stories about how her dad would exaggerate. And he would just exaggerate stuff, and she thought it was cute and funny about her dad. And Jackie, being who she is, she just piped up one day and said, "That's lying." Well, you thought we'd hit her with a baseball bat. I mean, she just was like obliterated. She was like, "Are you calling my dad a liar? Are you calling my dad a liar?" And Jackie thought, "What did I just do? What did I do? What did I do? This exaggeration is lying. Exaggeration, what did I do?" That's how I feel when people talk bad about my Heavenly Father.
Yes, yes, yes.
And tell me that He's the one causing these things. Do you understand?
Yes.
Just calling her dad a liar was so offensive to her, she wanted to storm out. I can't work for you. I can't work for you if you call my dad a liar. I love my dad. He's a good person. She stood up for him. The question, was he lying? Yeah? Exaggeration is lying. Do you understand now why you can't be talking about my dad like that? Because you're lying about him. My Heavenly Father. So now, He never changes. He's always going to do the same all the time. He's perfectly constant. If He did good things yesterday, He'll do good things today. He'll do good things tomorrow. He doesn't change. He doesn't do good things one day and bad things. He's not the schizophrenic. He can't make up His mind. He wakes in a bad mood. Woo! Half the world, zap, let's get a tsunami there. I can't take the Japanese anymore. Bam! With their false gods and stuff. Shoo! Take them down. Now, wait. No. Let's hit part of America. What part of America is irritating me? Yeah, there's a place. They've got these stupid dikes up. I can smash a sea right over those dikes, take them out. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Is that who you think God is? So, do you want to receive the crown of life? You're going to have to go through tempting. You're going to have to go through testing. And you have to come out the other side. And God will bless you. So listen, in James 1 and 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing. Who patiently endure testing. I didn't say God tests you. I'm saying that when you are tested, that you endure it. That you come through the other side without giving in. Every storm of life, actually comes against you to throw you off course. No storm hits a ship to try and keep it on course. No storm hits a ship to try and help it correct its course. When a storm hits a ship is to push it off course. That's what happens. The storms of life come to veer you away from God, not towards God. So the problems that you've gone through, you need to endure and come out the other side. Endure the temptation, endure the storms, because afterwards they will receive a crown of life. Everybody say crown of life.
Crown of life.
After you've endured, you receive a crown of life. Not if you quit halfway through. Not if you say, this is too much for me, I'm getting out of it, I'm quitting. No. The crown of life is for those who get through it, the ones who endure the storm. God has promised to those who love him. If you love God, then you're on a good track. You're on a good side. You notice that on two occasions now we've seen that the ones who get through the storms are the ones that love God. But the ones that turn out for the good are those that love God. You've got to start with the foundation that you love God. If you don't love God, pretty much you're on your own. Now remember, he says, when you're being tempted, do not say, everybody repeat, do not say.
Do not say.
One more time. Do not say.
Do not say,
God is tempting me. So if you're in a trial and you're being tempted to quit or give up, do not say, God is tempting me. Do not say, God is testing me. God is never tempted to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from your own desires. Temptation comes from within you. That's why the Apostle Paul said, consider your members dead, so that the temptation can't rise up, because your members are dead. But if they're still alive and kicking, there's a possibility that your own desire is the thing that's going to lead you astray, which is then being enticed. So your own desire, which enticed, drags us away. So these desires, if you give in to them, give birth to sinful action. Starts with a desire, gives birth to sinful action. Doesn't have to. You don't have to give in to it. So sinful action never comes from it. It dies unborn. But these desires give birth to sinful action. And when sin is allowed to grow, when sin is allowed to grow, sin doesn't grow on its own. You have to give sin permission in your life to grow. Sin can stop and you can stop it. Many of these things I'm talking about can be prevented. Right here he said, if sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. End result is death. So we say this with me. God is a good God.
God is a good God.
And the devil is a bad devil.
The devil is a bad
devil. God is a good God.
God is a good God.
Devil is a bad devil.
The devil is a bad devil.
And what you don't want to do is mix up the roles and confuse what God is doing and what the devil is doing. Please, please, don't give God credit for what the devil is doing. And conversely, don't give the devil credit for what God is doing. Be wise enough to tell the difference. Say, well, this storm is from my enemy. He's trying to throw me off the track. He doesn't want me to serve God. He doesn't want me to go through this. He doesn't want me to keep on. You know what? I recognize you, Mr. Devil. And I'm going to tell you kindly and politely, get the out of here. I had to bleep that just in case somebody, I don't have an automatic edit machine. Okay, so you tell the devil to go where he came from. Okay? You don't have to tolerate it. You just don't have to tolerate it. You say, enough. Wait a minute. Stop right there. I know this is not God. I know it's not God, and it's certainly not me. So I'm not going to permit you to continue this. You're a bad dude. This is you. I see this operation in my children. I see what's going in my relationships. I see what's happening in my finances. I identify you. You've come to kill, steal, and destroy. I will not permit you to do this to me or my family. I'm putting my foot down. Amen? Every eye closed. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sharing this word with us to help us understand your character, your love, and your nature. And also to help us understand the enemy and what he's trying to do. Lord, we realize that many of the storms we actually are responsible for, but we also understand that there's an enemy who's been trying to take us out. And all the time, you've been a good God standing by, ready to help, ready to rescue us if we would just only acknowledge you and love you with all of our heart. While every eye is closed, no one's looking around. Friend, I have a challenge for you. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're tired of trying to live this life on your own, if you're tired of trying to make it through life without God's help, don't you think today would be a good day for you to ask God to come into your life and say, God, I don't want to do this anymore on my own. I really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that He died on the cross for me. And you freely gave Him for me, and I receive that free gift. I don't want to miss out on what you've made available to me. I want to receive the life that you've given me. I want to receive the protection you've given me. I want to receive heaven that you've given me. And it's all because you love me. Forgive me, Father, for thinking those thoughts about you, for misunderstanding. Friend, if you're here this morning and you honestly mean business with God today and you want to turn your life over to Jesus and become a follower of Jesus and you want Him to step into your life as the Lord and Savior, wherever you are, just raise your hand real quickly. I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to have a miracle experience. A miracle experience as God comes into your life. I guarantee you, you'll never, ever be the same again. Now remember, the two guys who were sitting in church, they both heard. The one did the word, and his life was spared in the storms, and so was his house. The other one did not do. He heard, or she heard, and didn't do. And their life came crumbling down. I'm going to count to three. If you would like to receive Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand before I'm finished counting? One. Two. Three. All right, you may look up at me.